Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
We'll read the first four verses, and there's so much in this chapter. It's going to be weeks until we get through this chapter. Matter of fact, I won't hardly even get to first verse today. I got two pages of introductory notes to this chapter. And so, let me just read the first four verses of this great chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. What we just read, my friends, were some of the most important words ever printed in God's Word. Read about the gospel, death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and without a doubt, this chapter that we're going to jump into for the next few weeks is one of the greatest chapters in all of God's Word, because in chapter 15, it's the longest and it's the most thorough discussion of resurrections found anywhere in Scripture, both of Christ's resurrection and of man's resurrection. As we get later to the chapter, it talks about our resurrection. The first part of the chapter, though, talks about Christ's resurrection. So that's what's so great, makes this chapter so astonishing, so powerful, because we know without resurrection, there's no hope. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we too have hope of a new life. The resurrection of Christ is the greatest bombshell ever to explode in the face of the unbelieving world. The world has tried to explain away our Lord's miracles. They've tried that. Remember even in Moses' day, he would do a miracle and the Pharaoh's magician say, we could do that, you know, all through the ministry, the Old and New Testament. Well, they tried to explain away miracle. Also, they tried to explain away Calvary. The naysayers of God's word would try to explain away Calvary. But they cannot explain away the empty tomb or the resurrection, the testimony of the eyewitnesses of our resurrected Lord. Christianity is the only, I use this word in quotes, religion that has a risen Savior testified as being seen by many, even by 500 at one time after his resurrection, eyewitnesses to his resurrection. History records great religious leaders who founded great religions and inspired multitude of followers. But only Christ, the founder of our religion, of Christianity, lived, only Christ died, and only Christ rose again and showed himself after the resurrection. Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Hare Krishna, Dalai Lama, Joseph Smith, and all others I could name have not only died, they stayed dead. Doug and them sing that wonderful song about I go by the tomb of Buddha and Muhammad. And by the way, does Muhammad, he don't really have a tomb, does he? I don't think he does. I looked that up a while back because they said he ascended. We went to, when we were there, had the privilege of going to Temple Mount years ago. And there's a mosque of Omar. And then across is that other mosques where you go in there, and this was years ago, I don't know if they do this, let you do that anymore. You go in there, and there's actually a big old rock that you ascend down the stairs, and you put your hand on two places on that. It's a big old, not even, it's a big old, huge, bigger than this. And it's supposedly it's the imprints of the feet of Muhammad when he ascended to heaven. And you put your hand on there, and they have some kind of smell and incense and all in that. And you take it
oh, it smells pretty good. Whatever what they do with that rock and all. But anyway, so I don't think they have a tomb. If he ascended, I don't know. But anyway, the whole story, I'm not an authority in that. I just know I went, what do you call that place? Mosque of Omar, and the other one is the Dome of the Rock. Is that it? Yeah, the Dome. Makes sense. Of the Rock, okay? But anyway, so but all these great leaders, they've it made me think when I was writing down some notes of a fellow who, his name was Cyrus Teed, T-E-E-D. He began a cult group. They named it the Khorasan Unity. And he moved, he was from up north somewhere, and he in the late 1800s and then the early 1900s, and he moved that whole commune to Estero near Fort Myers, and today there's a state park there. I-75 splits where that, they had a couple hundred acres, and I-75 came through there, and they divided the that property up, but the state park's still there. It's called Estero, I wrote it down somewhere, something Estero State Park. It's where that commune existed, and I would encourage anybody, if you'd like to go, it's just a couple hour drive. Great history there. The houses are still there that he lived in, other things that were there. But he declared himself to be the Messiah. And people followed him, sold everything they had, and went down there. And he said that, because it's there, Estero in the Gulf of Mexico, and that river that came, there's a river that flows through there. He said that is the river of life. And he set up his little throne, if you will. And by the way, come to find out, he wouldn't let nobody marry, but boy, did he have women. And not only that, he had little girls. Come later, you find out about this man. And I was telling somebody this morning, who was telling me about that fella this morning, about that preacher? Dale. I'm amazed at how gullible people are. Follow so-called men of God and give them their money, and they live in mansions. They live just, people are so gullible. And here these people sold everything they had and went to Estero. Matter of fact, have you heard of David Koresh? I call him the wacko from Waco. Burn up all those people. He got that name Koresh from these people. The Koreshian Unity, it was a cult. And he and Cyrus Teed declared himself to be Messiah. Well, he formed the New Jerusalem there. But something strange happened. He died in 1908, 3 days before Christmas. And the community believed, because he had said that if he did die, that he was coming back to life. So all the people, literally, they put a 24-hour wake. They kept him laid in. They put him, they called it like a bathtub. They didn't bury him because he's going to rise again. They didn't have him on bed. I don't know why they put him in a bathtub. I don't know. That's just what they did. Put him in that tub. 24 hours a day, people were standing there. I guess they took shifts because he's going to resurrect from the dead because he's the Messiah. Well, the story goes, the health department came in and they heard about this, and maybe that's why they put him in the bathtub, because things happen, you know, body fluids and all, evidently. I don't know, I wasn't there. But the health department came and said, you got to get him out of here. And they built a monument, a mausoleum, there, what they say, there on the at the Gulf of Mexico, you know, where Estero and the water river runs out into the Gulf. They put a big old, his grave, a mausoleum above ground. And a storm came through a few years later, one of these great storms, and took it out. And Lord knows. The reason I said all that, a lot of great leaders have said that they're going to rise again, but there's only one, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.